And welcome back to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for January 1996. Now here's Phil Wayne with a look at the Market Scope.
Hello, DXers. Welcome to Market Scope. I'm Phil Wayne. It's January, a new year, and we are off to a great start with Bill Swiger's favorite radio market, Clarksburg, West Virginia. First up, at 7:50 on the radio dial, is WPDX. And with a set of call letters like that, they kind of sound rock and roll. But actually, WPDX was a longtime country music station. After several months off the air on both the AM and the FM sides, WPDX returned carrying the audio of a regional competitor.
North Central West Virginia's best new music, WMQC, WPDX. Here's Bruce Hornsby and A Walk in the Sun. Right here on the Adult Choice for today's best new music and yesterday's hits, 100.9 WMQC.
Truth is, we play a few commercials every hour to pay the bills. The rest is for you. 100.9 WMQC. Two frequencies. One great radio station. North Central West Virginia's best new music and yesterday's hits. Here's 100.9 WMQC, Westover, Morgantown. And 104.9 WPDX, Clarksburg, Weston.
CNN Radio News, I'm Andy Jordan. Ross Perot will make his presence known in yet another presidential election.
That explains those unfamiliar calls on the 750 spot. Next, we take a big leap up the AM dial to 1340, home of the market's talk station, WHAR.
All right, Joe, good idea. We're glad you called. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Mary, I've saved you a big elastic band for tomorrow.
You did?
I'm going to lasso you to make sure that you come back again.
Well, you have a heck of a good day.
All right, I'm on my way back to Beantown. Talk to you from Boston tomorrow.
Bye.
Mary Beal and Doug Steffen, it's the Live Line, 59 past the hour, friends and neighbors.
Talk Radio, WHAR. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's Talk Radio, WHAR. Live two-way conversation all day and all night. Listen in or join in. It's Clarksburg's only Talk Radio, WHAR.
Right after Rush, join me, Alan Combs, weekdays at 3 p.m. on Talk Radio, WHAR.
Thursday through Sunday at Meadowbrook Mall, it's the Antique and Collectible
Baking Soda as an abrasive cleaner. The EPA hotline is 800-438-2474.
Talk Radio, WHAR, Clarksburg.
Of two lawyers.
We've shown you that he would have killed, could have killed, and did kill these two people.
OJ could not, would not, did not commit these crimes.
Christopher Darden and Johnny Cochran at the O.J. Simpson trial, summing it all up for the jury, both sides presented charts, rhyming couplets, and photographs.
You can't.
West Virginia News Now. This is Talk Radio, WHAR, Thursday, 28th of September. I'm Bill Mahoney, and here's what's happening. Good news for 17,000 federal employees in West Virginia.
WHAR fills a lot of its broadcast day with CNN headline news. Onward now to the 1400 spot, where WOBG keeps pumping out those oldies but goodies.
For oldies but goodies, WOBG. Here at the home of good time, rock and roll oldies, signed, sealed, delivered, no COD. Memories are free. Good times and great old WOBG. Here at the home of good time, rock and roll oldies, a slice of rock and roll history coming up next on your favorite oldies station. For oldies but goodies, WOBG. In their studio session days, they were known as Booker T and the Memphis Group. There you have it. Booker T and the MGs on your favorite oldies station. Good time, rock and roll oldies as we flash back rock and roll history, June 28th on this date, back in 1986. The duo of Wham! Wave goodbye in their farewell concert to a sellout crowd as they go their separate ways. 6 years later, Wembley Stadium, same stage, 1992. It's a threesome, this time with Elton John, Eric Clapton, and Bonnie Raitt as they share the stage. The rest, the rock and roll history. Speaking of Elton John, stand by.
Lou Warren, good time rock and roll oldie spotlight.
Hi, Elkins. We're rocking you around the clock with Lou on WOVG.
I think rock and roll music.
Chimes and Credo, WOVG. Welcome to the home of good time, rock and roll oldies. It has been fun, and I promise we shall do it again. But until next time, you got it. Have yourself a Rocco Socco Bopo day as I leave you with the timeless sounds of Blues Image, 1970.
WOBG AM FM Clarksburg, Salem. The news is brought to you by Hayhurst Equipment in Pennsboro.
Good time, rock and roll oldies, WOBG.
You've got visible panty lines. The continents are drifting. You're haunted by a thousand points of light. You stink at bridge. Your toaster's exploded. The locusts are back. You've got jock itch. You've got
Zippo in the morning.
Hi, how are you? Good to see you. Yeah, here we are. Anyway, starting off another day bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Okay, my tail's just a little fluffy today, and my eyes are kind of drooling, but other than that, it's pretty much the way I described it. Hey. How you doing today?
Happy hump day.
It is, isn't it? Wednesday, huh?
Yeah, isn't it?
Bring a pack of camels from last week?
No.
That's right. All right, it's hump day in the secret broadcast cave.
I'll light the fire today.
WOBG, AM and FM. Yeah, I'd love to start off with a meaningful song like that from Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. They're
our house. It's a very,
very fine house.
It's very, very fine.
It's very, very fine. It's the Zippo Show in the morning here. We're ready to rock and roll. We got some great stuff lined up for you. We got some stories.
We tell very nice stories.
Brother Louie, the stories, the Supremes, Lulu, guess who, Drifters, Elvis, Beach Boys. Okay, that's just to name a few. We just pulled out a stack of them, and we want you to fill in the blanks, okay? Don't let anything slip through the cracks. Call us and let us know what you want to hear, okay?
Not the number?
1-800-833-9211, just in case you couldn't remember.
Like he said.
I can't remember this time of day. Anyway, just give us a call. We'd love to play something for you. Anniversaries, birthdays, you name it, we got it covered. And some super trivia in just seconds. WOBG.
Surfing USA.
The Beach Boys. The Endless Summer is officially here. Absolutely no doubt about that.
Endless Summer.
Here we are with the Beatles, the eternal guys of oldies, man. And no matter what time of year, these guys sound right. AM and FM, WOBG.
Girl.
Hey, it's the Zippo Show. How you doing? That's by the way I feel this morning. Come on, Jim.
Wake up.
Cherish is the word I use to describe.
Zippo in the morning. Good time rock and roll.
Good time rock and roll oldies for the entire Central West Virginia area. WOBG. WOBG AM and FM. Oh, yeah, up and away. Fifth dimension. Sure, you go up and away, and I'll just go back to bed.
All right, me too. Bye.
I'm rolling over, okay? Forget it. Okay, it's 23 minutes past time. Now for some super trivia, and this is the part of the show where we ask a really weird question. That the answer is probably on the tip of your tongue. Oh, I know what it is. What is the question, Maria?
Well, today we're going to do a little tri-bond.
Tri-bond's a lot of fun, okay? What do these three things have in common?
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Neil Armstrong, Edwin Aldrin Jr., and Michael Jackson.
Well,
see, I've been interviewed by Diane Sawyer. No, I don't know.
All right, okay.
I won't guess. 1-800-833-9211. You know the answer. What do they have in common? Good time rock and roll, oldies. WOBG. Brother Louie, the stories. Yeah, this is a good story to tell about this time of day, about half past here, secret broadcast day, as we're hanging around looking for an answer to a tri-bond, super trivia question. And if you missed it, don't worry, we'll tell you all about it again in about 3 minutes.
Of course, they all did the moonwalk. Actually, I cheated. Fast forwarded the air check cassette to find the answer. So with an abrupt chop to the music, we bring another Market Scope to a close, flipping bands next month to do the FMs. I'm Phil Wayne, wishing you and your families and friends, DXers and non-DXers, in other words, normal people, the best of holidays and the blessings of a great new year. And now I present to you a true blessing, the presence of a gracious, vibrant, and all-around tremendous individual.
This is Historical Moments in Radio with stories of the rich and exciting past on the AM radio dial. And today we're going to hear about the king of New York morning radio for many years on WOR, John Gambling. Now that might be the whole story, except those of you within 100 miles of New York City realize that there have been at least, what, 3 John Gamblings over the years, mornings on WOR? Well, for today, we're going to talk about John B. Gambling, the father of John A. Gambling, who was so popular during the 50s, 60s, and 70s, and grandfather of the John Gambling heard most recently as morning man on WOR. Here is John B. Gambling's story in his own words. You'll enjoy it. In February 1925, I was married, and I had only one marketable skill, wireless telegraphy, Morse code. I was aware that a fellow named DeForest had over the years been demonstrating radio tubes and had some voice and music broadcasts from the top floor of a building at 4th Avenue in New York City at 19th Street. And over in Newark, station WJZ had set up some fledgling operations, and the Bamberger's department store had partitioned off a corner of its sporting goods department for a broadcasting room as a publicity gimmick. On Washington's birthday, February 22nd, 1922, the studio engineer over there, Jack Papelli, put on an Al Jolson record of April Showers on a Victrola and set a microphone next to its big horn, and WOR made its debut on the air with its reconditioned 250-watt radio transmitter manufactured by the Lee DeForest Radio Company. And so it was, in early 1925, that I learned that WOR needed another engineer who could work in the morning hours during the Bernard McFadden calisthenics program, starting at 6:30 a.m. It would run until 8 o'clock when WOR signed off. And by the way, WOR would then resume broadcasting at 10 o'clock in the morning, and again briefly afternoon, starting at 2:30, and finally back on the air at 6 p.m. each afternoon and evening till 10 o'clock sign-off. Well, anyway, on my second day, Jack Papelli decided I might as well do the announcing for Mr. McFadden's calisthenics program, too. And that was fine by me, although I'd never spoken into a microphone, nor even spoken in public before. I didn't bother Jack with such details, of course. Now, in those days, everybody in radio was distinguished. By the end of the first week of my announcing job, my wife picked up a copy of the New York Graphic and found a full-page picture of me, the distinguished announcer, John B. Gambling, the caption said. It went on to mention I was announcer for the Bernard McFadden program on WOR, and shortly thereafter I learned that the New York Graphic was owned by Mr. McFadden, and he had paid out of his own pocket for all the airtime and engineering used on WOR for his programs. That also explained all the notices he had me reading on the air promoting articles exclusively in the New York Graphic. Well, but then one day, Bernie McFadden didn't show up at WOR. What to do? I pulled out some of his exercise charts, stepped up to the microphone, and did his routines myself as best I could. Well, within minutes, our telephone switchboard lit up. Who is that wonderful man with a clear voice? The callers asked. Most of them women, of course. We can understand every word he says. We love him. Well, that began a whole new career for me. Within 2 weeks, the McFadden exercise program had ended, and I was able to convince management to let me try a one-man talk and exercise program. By now, we were broadcasting from the new WOR studio at 57th Street in New York City, and our new 500-watt transmitter, though, was, of course, still across the river in Newark. So each morning I would come in, warm up the studio equipment, call the Newark engineer, and then provide bright chatter and exercise routines for an hour and a half. I was also able to trade quips with the orchestra that by then we had in the studio to accompany the exercises, all except the accordion player. His way of expressing himself was a tad salty for those years. Took me several days to realize that when he started to walk toward a microphone, I had to turn my back to him and say, "Okay, all of you out there, you ready? On your toes, arms out, play, boys." That took care of the accordion player. After 3 months, I picked up my first sponsor, Colgate Toothpaste. They bought the full 90 minutes, but insisted on a commercial every 15 minutes. I was also photographed in a gym suit doing the exercises. True, we had stopped wearing tuxedos by then, but we usually wore something more casual. Not in the ready position on a gym mat, but that's the way they wanted me in the paper, and that's the way they got it. This story goes on and on. It's kind of fun. We'll continue it on a future segment of the DX audio service. But for now, for Historical Moments in Radio, this is John Bowker.
Have you received the 690 HCJB DX test yet? If not, listen up. From Rich McVicker, he writes, HCJB is airing monthly DX tests on 690 kHz for the next year. Each test will be 15 minutes in length and will include plenty of Morse code and other unique items. All tests have been aired sometime between 0504 and 0820 UTC when there is no regular programming going out on 690 kHz. I've tried to time the tests so that each one corresponds with a sunrise or sunset either in Europe, the South Pacific, Japan, or Eastern Canada. In most cases, I let the Terminator take its natural seasonal course and left the time alone. The test will take place UTC Sunday in order to give DXers a chance to set up a long wire on Saturday. Correct reports for these tests are verified with a special 690 kHz QSL card. In order that your QSL card will be truly valuable, I'm being really fussy and unreasonable about the details. If you hear code, you need to report exactly what you heard and what characters you did hear. Tape recordings are welcomed, but tapes cannot be returned. Please send reports with one IRC or first-class postage in U.S. or Canadian stamps to 690 DX Test, care of English Language Service, HCJB, Casilla, that's C-A-S-I-L-L-A, 17-17-691 in Quito, Ecuador. Here's the schedule. We'll do our best to stick to it, but there may be some changes now and then. Any changes will be announced on DX Party Line and The Latest Catch. All times and dates are in UTC. January 7th, 1996, from 0800 to 0815. February 4th, 1996, from 0600 to 0615. March 3rd, from 0600 to 0615. April 7th from 0515 to 0530. May 5th from 0545 to 0600. June 2nd from 0600 to 0615. July 7th from 0800 to 0815. August 4th from 0600 to 0615. And September 1st from 0515 to 0530. Have fun. We'll be looking forward to your report. 73 and God bless. Rich McVicker.
The DX Audio Service Musings from Members.
Hi, Fred. Happy New Year to all. This is Dave Haley in Columbus, Ohio, calling. There's a story in the news today stating that the ozone layer is being depleted, apparently, to a greater degree than ever. And I wonder to what extent, in your judgment, that would affect DX, and if so, in what manner would it affect it? Thank you very much. Keep up the good work. So long.
This is Ken. Andy Way in Tampa, Florida. A change down here that no doubt John Bowker knows about. WSUN 620 is now all sports from talk radio. They are simulcasting with 910 WFNS. I don't know whether it's a LMA or what it is, but that puts four sports stations in the Tampa Bay area at this present time. Both sets are simulcasting with each other. Really strange arrangement. December the 1st, and this happened earlier this week around November 29th or so.
Greetings, Audio Service members. Marty Rimpaugh here on the 6th of December. I don't know how long this has been going on or for how much of the day they do this, but I find that now KVTO in Berkeley at 1400 and KEST 1450 in San Francisco are simulcasting. I just found that today, and like I say, I don't know how long it's been going on, but they do break away for their own separate IDs at the top of the hour, and then rejoin sometime. KVTO or KEST will actually, the simulcast will step on their IDs.
Yes, this is Ted Chittenden from Phoenix. Two items of interest to report. Number one, Globe Arizona has a new radio station at 97.3 FM. KXRS, it plays 70s music, 70s, 80s, and 90s mixes. Number two, KPSZ 93.7 Wickenburg has moved to 94.1 on the FM band, and its translator at 96.5 has ceased broadcasting.
Hi, this is Doug Hunsinger calling from Newport News, Virginia. Happy holidays, everyone. Hope everybody is having or has had that. And I just wanted to let you know that AM 1110, I believe the call letters are WCKO, in Norfolk, Virginia, is silent. Have not heard them since I arrived in the Tidewater area on the 21st. So I don't know if this is permanent, but that noted. And that's the only AM news from the Tidewater area this year.
To answer a question on our musings from members line about the ozone layer, I don't think that the ozone layer really plays a part in propagation, as does the F1, F2, and E layers. However, I do think it does play a big part in our climate. An unscientific observation by yours truly says that 20 years ago, we used to have snow by Thanksgiving, which would last all the way through Christmas, and now it seems that the snow is coming even later and later and less. That's just an unscientific observation, and we'll leave it up to debate from other parties. And if you have something on your mind, something to say, something to call us today, well, give us a call on the Action Line. The number is 419-228-4199, 24 hours a day, and simply follow the instructions. And that is for National Radio Club DX Audio Service, members only. From the DX Time Machine from 50 years ago, Clarence Burnham, Al Bartholomew, Al Mealy, and Stan Morris reported excellent transatlantic reception during the first week of December. Between the hours of 6 and 8:30 p.m. on December the 15th, 1945, Ed Wyman of Hornell, New York, positively identified 30 Cuban and 16 Mexican stations, along with ZNS, HIX, HIZ, HHGM, and HHK. He also heard a lot of other stations that were not identified. From the January 5th, 1946 DX News magazine, National Radio Club members were anticipating the scheduled DX test from CJCJ on 1230 and HOK 640 on January the 8th and WXLS 850 on January the 12th. Hal Wagner from North Girard, Pennsylvania logged a clear ID from 2WL 1430 kHz at its 7 a.m. sign-off on December the 30th. From 25 years ago, from the January 2nd, 1971 DX News magazine, Bill Alasakis Jr. of Hallidon, New Jersey reported his total herd at 1,010 stations, with new stations including WKLX 1350, CJR 1060, WVAB 1550, WRGM 540, and WKLV on 1440. Also from 25 years ago, from the November 12, 1970 DX News magazine, appeared in this issue was Gordon Nelson's article, Loop Distortion, Why Get Skewed? From 10 years ago, from the December 9, 1985 DX News magazine, Bob Hoffman of Ocean City, New Jersey, was selling a Martin's Loop for $85 as new, unused, and the last Martin's Loop imported by Paul Swearingen. Also from the December 30th, 1985 DX News magazine, a list of CQAM AM stereo stations included 331 listings as of 12/12/85. And that's our DX Time Machine. And with a little variation on the sports theme, here's Ken Anischuk.
All the scores on all the sports. If you want the latest sports, we've got all the late reports.
Hello, everyone, on the DX Audio Service. This is your crazy sports reporter, Ken Anischuk, here. I love all sports, and tonight we have a special feature here from the Museum of Broadcast Communications in Chicago with some Hall of Fame broadcasters, and, well, let's listen in and enjoy some history, bit friends.
Wait till next year.
Touchdown!
Central on Radio 720 WGN. Tonight from the Museum of Broadcast Communications, we'll celebrate the 75th anniversary of radio with a salute to sportscasting. We'll have broadcast legends Harry Carey, Jack Brickhouse, Jack Buck, Cubs legend Ron Santo, legendary boxing announcer Don Dunphy, along with acclaimed author Kurt Smith. So don't touch your radio dial.
And
your host, David Kaplan. Welcome in here to the Museum of Broadcast Communications. I'm David Kaplan, along with Harry Carey, Jack Buck, and Jack Brickhouse. How about a hand first for our legends up here?
A hand for a hand.
John Schultz.
she put all this thing together, Dave.
All right, let me get the whole party started, Harry, by asking you, you've been around 50-some years, you'll be back with the Cubs again, you've been in many different cities, many different communities, you've been West Coast, you've been in the Midwest. What is it makes Chicago broadcasting and Chicago sports fans so special?
Well, who said it was? No, seriously, well, it's a great sports town. It's a great city to live in, whether you're interested in sports or not. I never thought I'd see a city I enjoyed more than St. Louis, where I was born and raised. And then I came to Chicago, where I lived the last 27 years. And there's nothing like Chicago. It's the greatest city in the world, whether you want to talk art, you want to talk politics, you want to talk football, basketball, baseball. And now we got a guy named Rodman.
Jack Buck, let me bring you in next. You've been around, I believe, over 38 years doing Cardinal baseball. You've done football. You've done so many different events. Many people get up every day, they go to work, and they can't wait to get home because they don't enjoy their job. Obviously, the three of you worked so long at what you did that you just loved what you do.
When I first joined Harry Carey in 1954, he made me promise not to tell how easy the job was. And I've never told anybody. I defy anybody to name a better way to make a living than to be a sports announcer. And I've been involved since 1950 with baseball, and I joined Harry in 1954. I've done the Cardinals in 41 years, but now I work for CBS, and they're being sold. I work for the Cardinals, and they're being sold. And that's the big reason I'm here in Chicago. I'm looking for a job. And I've applied for the Cub job that Brenneman quit. How in the world he could quit that job, I don't know.
I'm going to tell Tom Brenneman your feelings, and I'm sure he knows that it's a terrific job he's leaving, but I know he has some other plans, and we certainly all want to wish him well. He's really a wonderful young man, and speaking of young men, my son now is not so young, but Jack's got a boy, Joe. You hear on the networks already, does the Cardinal baseball with Jack. He's outstanding. And, of course, I have Skip. And Tom Brenneman's the son of the announcer, Marty Brennan, in Cincinnati. So the second generations are really taking over. In my case, three generations, because Skip's son, who's my grandson, Chip, broadcast for Seattle in baseball, and he's been with the Orlando Magic ever since they started.
I'm not old enough to have grandchildren yet.
Jack Brickhouse, let me turn it to you. You worked a long time as the voice of the Cubs. You've done Bears football. You've done boxing. What was it that made being a Cubs broadcaster so special?
Well, just being a Chicago broadcaster was making it special, and I might point out, too, David, that I did the White Sox for 25 years. And here, Bob Elson got me the job. As a matter of fact, on the wall in my den, there's this wire that Elson sent me way back in 1940, 55 years ago. Expect a call from WGN regarding a position as staff announcer and sports assistant. Remember, if asked, you have a thorough knowledge of baseball. And, of course, my thorough knowledge of baseball at that time involved doing some baseball in the 3I League for the Peoria Tractors. But that's how long I've been around here, unlike these other two guys. By the way, it's great to be with my boyhood heroes here.
It's like these other guys. I'm just a good example of how in the United States of America, if you really put your mind to it, you can make a good living without working.
Harry, let me throw this to you and Jack had talked. He also was a Sox and Cubs announcer. What was it like working in Chicago where you were the broadcaster for the Sox at one time and then come over to the Cubs? Because it seems that there's such a deep rivalry between the fans.
Well, that's an old fishwife's tale. I would see the same people at Wrigley Field in the daytime that I'd see that night at Comiskey Park. So a lot of the fans, you know, we have the best of two worlds here. We see American League baseball at night, National League baseball in the daytime. And with all the talk, and all the writers indicate that a Cub fan won't talk to a White Sox fan and vice versa, that's a lot of baloney. This is a great baseball town, and they want a World Series here, whether it's American League or National League team representing the city. And the Cubs, boy, oh boy, Jack, I started in 45. You and I were together for about 27 years. This is my 52nd year. The last year that the Cubs were in a World Series, let alone win a World Series, the last year they were in a World Series is the first year I started, 1945. You would think the doggone law of averages would take care of you.
Well, like a Cub fan told me a little while back, too, Harry, and they picked up on this line. Okay, it's been 1908 since the Chicago Cubs last won a World Series. But any team can have a bad century.
Hey, Jack, I don't know if you mentioned this before, but the one year that the White Sox were in the World Series was the only year you didn't broadcast the White Sox or the Cubs at Chicago, right? You were doing New York game.
No. You're talking about 1945?
56.
Oh, in 56.
When the White Sox were in the World Series.
No, in 59, the White Sox were in the World Series. I was there.
59, you're right.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, Vinnie Scully and I did that World Series. And one of the things that I'm aware of right now is that the White Sox veteran fans right now know how those Cleveland people felt after last night's game, because in that series in 1959 they had the exact same situation. The Los Angeles Dodgers were up 3-1. The Sox had to win that game before 93,000 people in Los Angeles, the largest crowd ever to see a game, and if they don't, it's all over. So in order to bring it back to Chicago, they had to win that game. And in the fifth inning, Nelson Fox scored from third on a double play ball by Lawler, and darned if that 1-0 score didn't hold up. And so they won.
How the heck does he remember that?
I can't remember. Well, it's like Red Smith said, Jack.
I can't remember my hotel room number.
Well, that's the whole point. Red Smith said you can tell when you got a few years on you because you can remember in vivid detail things that happened several years ago, but you have trouble remembering what you had for breakfast this morning.
Jack Buck, let me turn it to you. You've done football. You've done, I believe, Monday Night Football. You do so many different things as well as Cardinal baseball. What's your favorite sport to broadcast?
Well, before I answer that question directly, may I say, with regard to Chicago, it's really, I think, one of the finest cities in the country. If not, I think most baseball players in the National League consider Chicago to be the best city in the United States, in all 50 states, plus Alaska and Hawaii. You didn't know we had 52 states, but I really enjoy doing the football on Mondays. In fact, I'll be in Minneapolis this Monday night. But I'm sure Harry and Jack will both tell you that a winning baseball season is something you can't compare anything else with. It's such excitement when it happens, and it carries on through the entire winter and on into next year, and it just transforms the entire city into a baseball city. We won in St. Louis in 64, 67, 68, 82, 85, and 87. There's nothing like it.
David, I don't know whether you have any beer sponsors on this program or not, but I have to ask you, I have to ask Jack, he's just here from St. Louis this evening. It was astounding to hear about Anheuser-Busch announcing plans to sell the St. Louis Cardinals, the Busch Memorial Stadium, and all those wonderful garages they have around the ballpark. And their explanation was they wanted to get back to what was their core business, which is selling beer. Now, that's the story of the newspaper. Is there something else that we should know about that particular situation?
There certainly is, and as soon as we're off the air, I'll tell you. To tell you the truth, I'm surprised that it didn't happen a couple of years ago. What with the problems that have confronted baseball, the strikes and the lockouts and so forth, Gussie Bush, Harry's old pal, had the heart taken out from him when the baseball players first went on strike. And August Bush continues to be upset by the transpirings in the game of baseball. We still don't have a labor contract that's in place. Nobody knows where baseball is going. And there are certain ball clubs that are in bad streets right now. And Anheuser-Busch lost money. They used to have a lot of fun owning the baseball team, and they made money at the same time. Now they're losing money, and they're not having any fun. And that, in a nutshell, is why they're going to go the other way.
And after a brief pause in a commercial, they come back.
Unbelievable! A home run for Gibson! And the Dodgers have won the game 5-4. I don't believe...
A much younger Jack Buck there.
But I just saw...
David Kaplan back here at the Museum of Broadcast Communications as we continue our salute to sportscasting, along with Harry Carey, Jack Buck, and Jack Brickhouse here on Radio 720. And Jack Buck, let me start with you, and I'll throw this out to all you guys as we heard one of your great highlights. What is your fondest memory of something you broadcasted, and what's your fondest memory of something that may happen off air in the booth that you can relate with us now? I see you looking at Harry.
don't tell him, Jack.
I really don't think I can separate the glorious moments that I've had the pleasure of being part of. For example, Lou Brock's stolen base exploits, and when he broke Maury Will's record, that home run you just heard by Curt Gibson with the Dodgers, Bob Gibson's no-hitter, Ozzie Smith's home run during the playoff against the Dodgers. I imagine Harry's going to mention Stan Musial's 3,000th hit. When Harry and I were working together in 1954, Musial, on a Sunday afternoon, hit 5 home runs in the doubleheader, hit another ball that was longer than a few of the home runs that he hit that was caught by Willie Mays in center field. And I really, with regard to baseball, can't separate one from the other. You take your pick of those. Maybe, perhaps, I enjoy the exploits of Lou Brock as much as any other activity on the field during the time I've been with the Cardinals.
Jack Brickhouse, why don't I turn it to you? Why don't you give us your fondest memories on and off mic?
Well, it's a question, of course, that we hear a lot. And every time I answer that thing, I get 10 minutes out of the hall here, and I think, well, I forgot to mention this one, you know. But I suppose the one that's been played a lot around here lately would be my fondest memory. I happen to be working with the great and wonderful pal of mine, Russ Hodges, one of the great broadcasters, God rest his soul. And we did the 1954 World Series between Cleveland and the Giants. And I happened to be the guy on mic when Willie Mays made that famous catch off Vic Wirtz, which is considered the outstanding catch in World Series history up to this point. That, of course, is one. Ernie Banks' 500th, I can't forget that. The White Sox winning the pennant in 59, I was their telecaster then, I can't forget that. I was there for Musial's 3,000th hit, and even though I was doing the Cub games, I was as thrilled as Harry and Jack were for that wonderful hit by Stan. And I don't know, there are so many more. I have to point out that I think I do have one television record outside of the 4,700 games I've televised. I guess nobody's going to catch that one for a while. But I have done 8 television no-hitters, and every one of those was a thrill not to be forgotten for a while. Plus the very first game I ever did in my life in the major, just being in that booth and at that ballpark, you can never forget that, can you, fellas?
Before Harry answers, I must say and confess, really, that aside from our personal activities with our families and so forth, having kids and grandkids and being happily married and so forth, I'm sure the biggest thrill that all three of us have had outside of being on the air is to be in Cooperstown and be inducted into the baseball broadcaster's wing of the Hall of Fame. And, yeah.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time I have for now. So thanks for listening. Enjoy the winter and enjoy your favorite sports team. And Happy New Year to all. God bless. So long.
Before we get into a Simon Air check, let's do a little trivia here for no prize whatsoever. Yeah, we're being cheap, I know. Try to identify this famous radio personality who is on the air today and who was a top 40 DJ over a decade ago. Listen to this voice and see if it sounds familiar.
Weather. Gotta be sunny and cold today. High temp below freezing at 31. Tonight clear and cold. A low tonight down to 22 degrees. Nippy, nippy, nippy. And for Saturday, partly cloudy, continued cold. High above freezing on Saturday of 35. Currently in the southern suburbs, it's 18. Up north, 20 degrees. Out west of the airport is 15. Got 19 degrees. Golden Triangle of Pittsburgh.
Have you been able to figure out who that is? We'll have the answer on the next edition of the DX Audio Service. Meanwhile, in assignment aircheck land, we had the assignment of finding lady DJs on the air. We had many different entries from both ends of the United States and even Canada. And we'll have those tapes sent out probably on the second week of January 1996. Our next assignment is morning shows, AC or CHR, on a Friday morning. So if you have a radio station in your market that either has the adult contemporary format or the contemporary hit radio format, and it sounds rather good, record them on a Friday morning and send us the tape. Make sure your tape is sent so we get it no later than the 29th of January, 1996. When you record your tape, start recording 5 minutes before the top of the hour. When it gets to the end of the tape, flip it over and keep recording. And then just pop it in the mail to us. Make sure it's a C90 cassette. And make sure also that it's a good quality C90. Because what we'll do is, after it's all edited down, we'll erase the tape, put all the contributions back onto your tape, and send it back to you. We're unable to duplicate tapes such as the Sertron tapes or the Kmart specials or some of the cheaper brands. It just will not record. So make sure it is on a good quality C90 tape. Start recording 5 minutes before the top of the hour. Flip it over when it gets to the end and record the other side of the tape and send it to us here at Assignment Air Check. Be sure to put that on the envelope, Assignment Air Check, care of the DX Audio Service, Great Northern Broadcast Company, Post Office Box 5031, Lima, Ohio, 45802-5031. Marty Rimpaugh contacted us about an interference problem that he's getting on the AM radio dial. Give a listen, and Marty, got to speak up next time you call. We had a little bit of a problem in boosting up the level here. So here's what Marty has to say, and here's his example.
I've been getting RFI and the... initially for 2 years now, and I found someone who my friend Bill in Denver says is operating a repeater, and I get this computer noise on the AM about 8:30 or 8:40 every so often. The last time I got it was about 8 or 9 days ago, and I'd like to play you the actual code that I got on tape. Listen.
Well, Marty, if my CW expertise is up to snuff, the call sign for that is KNKB678. That's Kilo November, Kilo Bravo 678. And what I would do is contact the nearest Federal Communications Commission office via letter and ask them who the licensee is for that particular call sign. Most commercial repeater systems start at about 30 megahertz and go upward, and I don't know of any commercial business repeater systems which are down in the AM band, nor anywhere near the AM band. So I would contact the Federal Communications Commission, find out who the licensee is, and then contact them and ask them what they can do to alleviate the problem. As a reminder to our DX Audio Service members who renew in 1996, keep in mind that when you do send in your payment, you will be sent a postcard in the mail, which will be basically a receipt for your check and your payment, because when all the checks get here to headquarters, we have to send them on to Ken Chatterton, and that's why sometimes it takes a little while in turning around the checks back to your bank. So when you send in your check, your payment for your subscription to the DX Audio Service, we'll send you back a postcard which will acknowledge that we have received it. It will contain the date that the check was received and also your subscription dates. Keep that in file because that is your receipt for your subscription of your DX audio service. And on our waning moments here, the DX change, we have a couple of buy and sell items. First of all, for sale, an ARP 2800. That's the ARP Odyssey keyboard analog synthesizer, $350 plus shipping. Also, two TFT AM EBS receivers, decoders, and generators, $250 each or both for $350 plus shipping. On the want-to-buy category, RCA 77DX, 44BX, or Shure Model 55S microphone. Contact yours truly here at headquarters, and let's do some dickering. Well, that's it for this edition of the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service. We have no more time, but I do have to say in our closing moments that this has been one heck of a year, and I can only look forward to 96 being bigger and better for the DX Audio Service because of our super members and all those editors out there who have done so much to make this magazine what it is. And I also have to commend Ken Chatterton for his help in keeping the audio service up and going at all times on the business end. Thank you very much, members and editors, for everything you've done at 95. And let's look forward in 96 to making it a banner year. From Debbie Vobey, Connie Vobey, my daughter, John Vobey, my little son, Chris Connor, and all the editors of the DX Audio Service, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and we'll see you next month on the DX Audio Service. 73, good DX, and get out there and support radio.
All right, one more.